Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Dr. Chris Hartley. Chris serves as Deputy Executive Director at the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, CCEE. His primary role is leading and supporting the CCEE Center of Transformative Systems for Equitable Educational Outcomes and efforts to build capacity and improve accessibility within the CA statewide systems of support. Transitioning to CCEE from the role of serving as Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, his background and service is focused on meeting the needs of children and youth throughout the K-12 system. Through efforts focused on networking and collaboration, he has developed and built relationships and partnerships with multiple regional and statewide agencies and organizations. He strives to improve student outcomes by supporting innovative strategies that minimize resources, align initiatives, build and foster partnerships and cohesion while utilizing improvement science practices. Welcome up to the podcast, Chris.
Hi, Dana. Thank you so much for having me and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well, as we're recording this one of the first days of the new year. And, it's a pleasure to hear about your work on our chat prior to recording. And we'll dive into some of the various work you've done in your career. But I wanted to start off with the story about when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
You know, Dana, it was, as you and I were kind of chatting before, you know, it's interesting to think about the word in the trenches. That means so many different things for all of us in education, depending on, you know, the type of position that you might be in the course of your career. And so my mind actually was flooded with lots of different examples. And it's interesting to try to hone in, you know, on something that that really speaks to your heart. And when I think about the work on a school site level, and I think of the word trenches, at times when our schools and communities face significant trauma, or in some cases, you know, a devastating incident involving perhaps student or faculty health, or the health of a community member that's a part of your culture, you know, it's not necessarily a trench that you're in, but sometimes it can feel like it, right? And so for me, I think the most thoughtful examples I can think of around that are when, as an educator, as a teacher, or a leader, unfortunately, there's been more than one case, but when we've had instances where you have a serious, significant event in your school community, and those particularly that involve, you know, the harmfulness to a student or a faculty member who's suffered an illness or something like that. You know, I've reflected a lot about how did we work our way through those potentially devastating situations. You know, and thinking back to some of those instances, particularly I can remember a time as a high school principal when we had a student, unfortunately, who passed away in an unfortunate accident. You know, it was kind of a period of numbness, and you look around and you're like, oh, I'm actually the site leader here. We've really got to pull together and find a way through this so that we don't remain in this difficult spot. And reflecting back on that, our strongest source of resiliency were our students. You know, when we think about student involvement in decisions, student involvement and defining the culture of your organization, certainly your school site, oftentimes I think adults don't necessarily look inward enough to capitalize on that leadership that our students have. So I think back to several examples where what led us out of the trenches really weren't the adults. It was more of us utilizing the power and empowering our students to help us find creative ways and solutions through difficult situations and difficult times. And so I think, you know, that for me as a school leader and as an educator, as a teacher to begin with in my career, just harnessing the power of what our students can provide for us and not taking that for granted, despite whatever situation we might be in, whatever trench we might be trying to work our way through. I think that not only works really well in the moment, but it sets the stage for what you're able to accomplish as a school community, you know? So I think that those are the things that resonate for me when you ask that question, Dana, around moving from the trenches, just really using your school community focused on students to help heal in some cases and certainly move forward and become stronger as a result of it.
And like you said, a lot of that plays into school culture and the comfort level students have in taking those leadership roles.
Yeah. And you know what? They're surprisingly, not surprisingly, they're amazingly comfortable doing it. We just have to recognize that. And sometimes I think the biggest barriers are the adults that are making the decisions, assuming that maybe our students aren't ready to handle this when in fact they're ready to handle just about anything you throw at them if you give them the opportunity to do so.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about your journey leading up to your current position. So you've worked as, you mentioned, a high school principal. You've also founded and led a charter school, and you've worked as a teacher as well. So tell me about how these different experiences are helping you in your current work.
You know, that's a great question to think upon as well. You know, when I first began, like a lot of us as educators, starting as a classroom teacher I started with high school students, and my first position at the time was working for at-risk ninth grade students, and we called it an opportunity program. And the concept was to try to give these students the support and the care that they needed to, you know, maintain their work in a comprehensive school. They were kind of headed in a track of perhaps moving to alternative ed. And so we really, really wanted to give them all the help we could to keep them in the high school setting that they originally started with. But those experiences as a young teacher were just foundational to understanding the importance of caring, compassion, really understanding that you're not fully aware of the full picture that students face when they're not at school. And also as a teacher, you know, I never realized the tremendous opportunities for educators to grow in their own career. You know, so it's kind of interesting to think back as a teacher. I never in a million years would have ever thought that I would have, let alone been an assistant principal or a principal, certainly not a district superintendent or a county or to the matter of working here at the state level in California. Never in a million years did I think that those opportunities even existed. You know, and so as I speak to a lot of young and young educators entering the field, I always share that with them, like, be aware of all the different avenues you can explore as an educator and follow your passion. You know, follow where your interests are. And I've been really, really fortunate to have that kind of an opportunity throughout my career to follow that kind of passion. And so what drove me from the beginning was, you know, how do we come together to sometimes work with what we have when you have it, to be creative and innovative and realize that oftentimes the work is difficult. And you have to think outside the box to solve sometimes very complicated situations, and that the power of the folks that you have the fortune to work with is just absolutely one of the most critical resources that you have. And so working through, you know, from a teacher to, again, getting into administration, I'm always looking for opportunities to kind of buy into that creativity, create an innovative spirit, and to tackle problems, you know, with optimism and the idea that if we're working together, we're compassionate, and we're creating a trusting environment, that we can accomplish things. So sometimes, you know, we think about initiatives happen at the speed of trust. And I think I learned that early on as a young teacher, and it's a foundational value for me, you know, moving into the type of work that I do now at the state level.
So you've been in your current position a few years. So what exactly do you do in this position in terms of the statewide systems of support?
So we have this California statewide system of support is a pretty, it's a massive initiative that's comprised of lots of other initiatives that exist within it. And ultimately, the goal of the system of support is to provide a through line between state initiatives that are launched to district implementation and to provide supports and services to districts that will help them in their improvement journey. And so it's a large beast. And so I think the easiest way that I could explain how we are trying to support the system of support is that you have to first have the concept of, before you can improve a system, you need to see a system. Mm-hmm. And I think if you were to ask a lot of our school districts in the state about the system of support, they would be, there'd be a lot of confusion, probably a lot of unawareness, like what is the statewide system of support? I didn't realize all these services were out there. And so a big part of what we do is to try to help our practitioners, county offices, school districts, school sites, to see what this system actually is. So I think the best way to explain that is we look at our work in three tiers. One, we really focus on coordinating what's available in the system. And what that means is, are we building coherence across the type of support that's available? Mm-hmm. Are we improving access to those supports? Are the supports, and this really speaks to my work as a practitioner, are they relevant to the field? Mm-hmm. Are we providing support that actually is meaningful? And in order to know that, we have to create a system of two-way communication. We have to be engaging with districts and county offices, asking about and sharing what our services, and then listening and getting feedback from them on, is this relevant? Is this meaningful? So that would be like, we do a lot of coordinating in that way. Another tier, Dana, to our work is collaboration. And so no matter what job you are doing in the education field, the bottom line is we're in the relationship business. And so if we're not collaborating and if we're not committed to working closely together, we have the tendency to fall into our silos. So I think a lot of our work at the state level is to ensure that there's a rich level of collaboration, linking work between districts to county offices with our state agency partners and key decision makers. So that would be a second tier of how we're mobilizing the system. And then the last tier would be, are we integrating our work and understanding that we actually have a shared responsibility to ensure that the system is coordinated and collaborated and accessible, and that we maintain an infinite mindset and understand that there's no quick fix to the work, and that it's a process to develop capacity for continuous improvement, you know, and that we constantly realize and maintain a focus that it's our job to not fix schools and districts, but rather to empower schools and districts and leaders to create innovative solutions that support their local desired outcomes. So I think, you know, our work in those three tiers is primarily how we're driving the system support for California. Within that, there's a lot of nuances, of course, but I think that's the best way I could explain it in a structured way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you work with certain districts in certain areas of California? I know we discussed a little bit about the rural districts, do they have certain challenges that other districts might not have?
Yeah, that's absolutely. So primarily within my division and at CCEE, we provide statewide services and supports that are outlined for us in legislation.
Okay.
But fortunately, we also have flexibility in the statute to create what I like to term impact projects that can find a place in the field. And so one of those areas, and again, this goes back to my background working in a rural part of the state of California, is the need to support leaders in a small rural school district atmosphere and geographical region. And so one of the projects that we have, we actually started this off in Humboldt County Office of Education, but it's the concept of a leadership institute that's really driven around the needs of supporting small school district leaders, but also so important as we are faced with an employment shortage of educators, which includes everybody across the field, but also includes leadership, is that the Leadership Institute is available for those aspiring leaders as well. And so essentially what it is we've created this institute. We've got 55 superintendent principals across the state that join us in the institute, and we provide them with mentoring with site leaders that are in other districts in the state. We've got, I think, up to 10 sessions where we come together for 90 minutes a session, and we just review topics that are of pertinence to them. Again, we listen to learn what they need from the field. So it could be, we just did one on a couple of months ago around the importance of how to work with your school board. So how to have an effective governance team. So we bring in guest speakers, we have content, and we create an atmosphere where leaders in these small communities have a chance to settle back, engage with their peers, and not be so isolated in their work. And folks that are experiencing the same type of challenges are available to talk through it with each other. And so not only are we providing content, but we're providing a community and a network for folks that will go far beyond this institute, right? And that's the idea. It's a very difficult position in our small rural communities. The nature of that job, for instance, is not just, oh, I come in and I just do superintendent work. You're the superintendent, the principal. Some days you might be the bus driver. You know, you're working in the cafeteria. You're a small crew of people that still have to perform all the essential job functions of any school in the state of California or in the nation, for that matter. So these are really special folks that take on these challenges. And this is one impact project that we're really proud of and supporting their leadership. And just acknowledging, you know, how much we care about their ability to serve the students and their community.
And we talked.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
A little bit in the pre-chat about some of the challenges in terms of kids that are coming to the schools, live in a wide geographical area, just, you know, getting the kids to the buildings, and also the internet access piece that a lot of districts made sure they had in place during COVID, but a lot of districts in these rural areas are saying are still don't have the broadband access.
Yeah, you know, Dana, thanks for bringing that up. So when we think of the term equity, it's a massive term, and it's such a critical concept and piece for us to be aware of at all times and serving in our role as educators. When we think of the term equity in a small rural atmosphere, small rural geographic area, oftentimes people aren't aware of some of the issues, just like you brought up around connectivity. And for us in our county, that really surfaced when we were moving our way through the phases of adapting to COVID. And when we had to make decisions to shut schools down from in-person instruction to online learning, we really were aware of like the obstacles that a lot of the families face in rural communities. And one of those is just being access to the internet, having access to online curriculum and online materials became an equity issue for us. And so small rural communities work through things like that when in today's age, you know, people might be surprised, like internet access is probably seen as a utility, like everybody must have it. And so it gave us opportunities to advocate for that. And I was really proud of decision makers in our state for their support and providing funding and helping us leverage connections to folks that could get access to our communities and again, come up with really creative ways to make sure no matter what, that we were giving students the materials and the support that they needed in that time period. But outside of that too, you know, in a rural context, just the nature of living in a large geographical area, people probably don't understand, you know, the length of a bus ride that it might take any student to get from home to school back to home, or the effort that it takes for the school district to have transportation that can actually get students from home to school. You know, those are issues that are real, and our rural communities face those on a daily basis. On the other side of that, though, it's really important to think about. There's so many great positives about being in a rural community, you know. So I think it just goes to the fact of the diversity of education throughout California and throughout the nation is really rich, and that there is no one size fits all.
Yeah.
That as educators, no matter where we land, and what our role is that at the end of the day, you know, we should be really thinking and looking deeply into what are the needs of our children and youth and community, and how do we work together to work through those needs? Because in my experiences, the resiliency of people is tremendous if you create the opportunity for that to come forward.
Yeah, and I think that's what you were saying about like a tragedy like that might happen at a high school, like. If you're talking about a community in a rural area, like many of the stories we heard during COVID, like teachers were delivering paper packets, right? kids that are taking these long bus rides. We want to make sure, do they also provide internet access on the buses during these long bus rides so kids can do their homework?
No, not in my experience in the rural because having that kind of, that would be great. That has not been a possibility in my experience at this point.
Okay. So your team is now working on community engagement now with the new year starting, and also talking about prioritizing students' health needs and, safety that families feel in school. So what are some of the things that you're looking at? I know you mentioned ACES in the pre-chat and adult needs as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I think where we're leaning here is kind of like, what do we see, what are priorities moving forward? And those priorities in my experience and with what we're working on, I'll start with the last one first. And that I think you were moving towards is the importance of providing strong mental and emotional support for our students and communities. And ACEs refers to the adverse childhood experiences, and it's an index that in the communities I've worked in have high levels of student and family trauma. And so I know that as school districts throughout the country are, look to their school communities, there's a pretty good awareness of what are the levels of support our students need, with regards to mental health services and those sorts of things. So when I think about moving forward, I think it's really important to focus on truly having integrated mental health services across agencies and across our local school districts and school sites to effectively, address the needs of communities and families, wherever it is that we're serving, and creating systems for that is difficult to do, but are tremendously important to have. So when I think about, where we've been and where we're at and where we're going, to me, that's a critical priority, for school districts. And that's the feedback that we hear as well is, look, our students need more than just academic support in today's age. And oftentimes their experiences at home and within their families and communities are difficult. And so expecting folks just to show up in your classroom and learn and participate and be fully engaged without addressing their other social emotional needs, no longer makes no sense. And so we look for ways to, how do we integrate services on school sites? I think that's a critical part moving forward.
And that's, is that like a several year long initiative?
Well, when you think about this type of work, from the inside out, so inside meaning at the site level, at the district level, out to like state support, it's so localized as to what you're going to do, so I wouldn't say like we are leading an effort in this at CCE. Again, what we're trying to do is how do we can help coordinate, and how can we help collaborate, and how can we help integrate examples of how successful MTSS programs are happening in schools, how to broadcast and highlight the success stories and duplicate efforts where this has been a primary goal for schools, so that those that want to lean into this more and want to provide more have an easier pathway to do so. One of the areas that we do support the work is with our county offices of education in the state. And we work closely with a few of them with regards to the models that they're using and how they can be duplicated and strengthened within their own community. California has a lot of encouraging work in this area with regards to fee for service programs and reimbursement programs that schools can pursue. There's a lot happening here. And so our organization, we lean into the spaces where we can have the greatest impact. And sometimes that means working with a county office. That might mean having conversations with district leaderships, and also talking to state agencies about how do we create a through line, from the state level to school site levels that actually lead to implementation of these type of services that we're talking about.
Hey, well, it's good to kind of hear how that works from the state level down. And, like you said, it's more localized to what each district and school needs. But, it's good to hear from somebody who's kind of working at that level to help with those initiatives. a lot of the guests I've had on, you know, are more at the school or district level. So hearing a little bit more about how the state initiatives for MTSS work has been really interesting. And, you know, I wanted to just kind of wrap up our conversation today with anything that you'd like to summarize, or out of everything we talked about, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
You know, Dana, I know this is not cliche, but it sure is important. And no matter what the type of initiatives we've talked about, at the end of the day, people make programs. You know, and the importance of realizing that we're better together than not, I think, is the message that I would send. No matter what is the initiative, no matter what position you're in, is that the potential and our ability and the willingness to support each other, you know, really is the foundation to creating everything from state agencies that are functional to organizational cultures that embrace support, to school sites having safe environments not only for mental and mental well-being, but safe environments for taking risks and being innovative, working hard with each other to listen, to learn and understand. You know, people making programs to me means also just having authentic relationships with the communities that we serve, and creating an atmosphere on our school sites that's accessible, and that is seen as a source for energy and a source for creativity. And ultimately, we're all here to support our students. And so that's the message that I would leave. People make programs no matter what position you're in the school system. I often remember, and I talk about this from time to time, but I can remember my youngest daughter was so afraid to get on the school bus. And we actually have a photo of her getting on the bus. And we got her on the bus, and she had a school day, and she came back, got off the bus, and asked her, "How did your day go? You know, how was school?" And I wanted to hear about school. She's like, "Oh, Dad, Freddie's great." I'm like, "Who's, okay, well, how was school?" "Well, Freddie, Dad, Freddie's amazing." I'm like, "Who is Freddie?" "Freddie's my bus driver, you know," and she loved that guy. And he was just such an impact on her, you know. So we think about people make programs in all the different positions that we have. Yeah. And I know lots of folks probably have stories like that, but to me, that's the core message moving forward.
Where can people connect with you and find you online?
You know, the best place to look for me is on the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence website. So we've got a presence there, and my email is there. And I would encourage folks to reach out anytime if you want to chat, you want to share resources, you want to kick ideas around, you know, anything we can do to help. I would look forward to folks reaching out.
Hey, well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much, Dana.
My book, Out of the Trenches, Stories of Resilient Educators, has now been published. You can access it through Amazon. You can buy it at the Road to Awesome website, or you can get it through my website at danagoodyear.com. Please leave a review, and you can also access it on Kindle. Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.